Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Scheduled to be joined shortly by Pred center Matt Duchesne. And looking forward to this discussion, Joe. Matt Duchesne will be joining us every week throughout the season here on ESPN 102.5 The Game on Robbie and Rex Road. So looking forward to that. Got a lot to get to with Matt Duchesne, and hard to believe, Predators hockey officially getting underway tomorrow. The puck drops for real, and then it's fast and in a hurry. A 56-game season. They've got games almost every other day throughout the season. A lot to get to here with Matt Duchesne, and a lot to be excited about if you're the Nashville Predators with the seasons coming up on Thursday. So looking forward to that. We'll also have Adam Vingan join us from The Athletic at 9:30 to get into all things Nashville Predators with him. So a lot of content today on the Nashville Predators, a lot to keep you updated about. And with that, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Predator center Matt Duchesne. Matt, what's going on, man? Excited to have you join us.
Hey, thanks for having me, boys.
So Matt, what's this offseason been like, getting ready for this point and the uncertainty that surrounded all of it? I mean, just what's it been like from a player's vantage point of getting ready for this moment with the season beginning tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, basically last year when things shut down, March 12th, I guess, I added up all the amount of time that we've been training and, like, you know, like working out, getting ready, and it was over like three off seasons worth. it was a lot. Like, and obviously the playoffs didn't go how we wanted it to, and it was a little too short, and to have four games in that span, it's been tough. And I mean, obviously, you know, training and stuff like that is a necessary evil. And but after a while, you're like, okay, I'm there. Like, let's play, you know. So it's really exciting to be back, and I'm just really thrilled that we were able to have, you know, a 56 game season. And you know, I think it's pretty legitimate, and I think it's going to be great.
Well, Matt, before we get too much into the hockey nitty gritty, what's it been like for your family recently? Congratulations, by the way. I mean, it's a very young family at home. What's the off season been like for you guys, and how's it going?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of great time spent. You know, it's my wife and I are kind of in the thick of it right now. We were talking the other day. It's probably as hard as it's going to get for us as parents, just because my daughter's 2 months, and we found with my son that between two and 5 months was the toughest little stretch, just because they become a little more needy, and she's, you know, pretty attached to mom right now as they are in the first year. But and then my son has just turned two, and there's a reason they call it the terrible twos, and he's awesome, and he's such a smart, good kid, but at the same time, you know, he has his moments and he's busy, and, you know, basically we clean up our, you know, our living room every single night because his toys are just everywhere. So it's a lot right now. My wife's got, you know, a ton on her plate with them, but she's an amazing mom and wife, and I'm very blessed to have all of them in my life.
Matt, how's Bo handling becoming a big brother? I mean, it's always fascinating for me, just with the young children that are in my life, to see how they react when something new happens. And obviously, you mentioned the birth of your daughter. How's Bo reacting to being a big brother?
Yeah, he, you know what? The first bit, he pretty much just pretended like she didn't exist. Now he's starting to, like, do more with her. And he yesterday, like, Ash had a really amazing video of him, like, giving her pacifier, and she kept spitting it out. And It was pretty funny. He kept on like trying to put it back in. He was kind of laughing. So like he's starting to kind of embrace that role. And you know what? He's handled it really good. I mean, he hasn't been jealous. He hasn't been like starving for mom's attention or like, you know, anything like that. Like more than normal, I guess. But he's handled it really well. And we're excited to see them kind of grow together. They're less than 2 years apart, and I think they're going to be pretty close.
So, Matt, this team, there's been a lot of talk about being harder to play against. Have you seen that play out? Are you seeing that on a daily basis when you guys get on the ice? Do you think that it will be a discernible difference when we watch you guys this season?
I hope so. I mean, I'm definitely seeing it in practice. The intensity level of guys is really high, and I think just our competitiveness has gone up. I think there was some baggage, you know, obviously I've only been here a year, but I think there was some baggage from, you know, maybe that run in 17 they had here, where it's like, okay, you know, you're trying to live up to that again. And you focus too much on the result rather than the process. And I think, you know, it's human nature to be like, okay, I want to get back to where I was. I want to be that. But then, you know, it's pretty easy to forget how you got there and what it takes. So, I think last year was a bit of a reset year, a little bit of a transition, obviously a coaching change. You know, Laviolette did an amazing job with this team, and sometimes things just run their course, and you need a new voice and a little bit new ideas and things like that. So I think the coaching staff coming in has done a great job kind of revamping things and finding some areas we need to be better. And yeah, I mean, it's going to be, it's constant. You never stop. There's no team that stops getting better. And it's kind of one of those things, you're either getting better or you're getting worse. And so that's the choice we have to make every day. And I've seen that from guys. And, you know, our core group of guys is really led by example and really pushed. And it's been great to see.
Predator center Matt Duchesne on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Matt, we had Forsberg on a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about just the disappointment of last year from an individual standpoint and how there's a chip on the shoulder. And not just him, but the top guys in the forward group heading into this year. As you put last year in the rear view and you begin a new season here starting tomorrow, how much of a chip on your shoulder is there for you? Is that fair to say as well, that it's there for you as well?
Yeah, I mean, I come in every year trying to prove, you know, try to live up to what I believe I can be as a player. And I know last year was, you know, there was a lot of weird stuff. There was, you know, stuff that I take responsibility for. There was stuff outside of my control that, you know, that I probably didn't handle well, and just accepting it, that it was out of my control. I think coming in right now, for me, yeah, I mean, I hate to say that, like, oh, I have a chip on my shoulder and I want to prove this. I think the way that I go about it is, I just want to come in and be the best version of me I can be, and live up to what I believe I'm capable of. And I know that if I do that, I'll be in a really good spot. And, you know, I've got goals and dreams that I still want to achieve in this league. And obviously this is my 12th season, which is friggin' crazy for me. You know, I still feel like I'm 18 and I'm turning 30 in 3 days. So it's kind of, but I, you know, I feel like I got a ton left and my best years are still ahead of me. And, I want to do it here. I mean, I want to be part of this group that leaves a legacy behind us here in Nashville and brings a championship to the city. And, you know, our fans and our fan base and just the backing we have here is incredible. And I think, you know, we have a special, special group with a lot of guys that are capable of being superstars and achieving great things. And I know guys want that. And if you want that, anything's possible. And that's what I see from our group.
Matt, you mentioned there things out of your control that you maybe didn't handle as well. Can you elaborate at all on that?
Yeah, I mean, just some stuff, you know, it's one of those things you just let go. But, you know, just little things like, you know, last year in the playoffs, I actually broke my jaw in the first practice right before the start of the playoffs. And it basically went undiagnosed the entire time. I didn't find out until I got back. It's kind of when I lost my tooth. And, you know, I went from being on, you know, really, you know, excited and having a lot of, you know, enthusiasm to all of a sudden being in a ton of pain. And basically, I because it went undiagnosed, I wasn't able to treat it properly, and it just affected my kind of just waking up every day. I just was kind of not myself, and just little things like that just happened throughout the year that I can't explain. And you know, it's definitely, I'm definitely not trying to make excuses for last year. There's a lot that I didn't, you know, I didn't do right and didn't, you know, I guess handle the right way. But there was a lot of little things like that happened last year that were just like, my God, like how did this happen? So, you know, it's all healed up now and all good, but I would have loved to have known that I had that going on. So I could have dealt with it a little bit better, in the bubble, and maybe manage some of the pain. And you know, I think I definitely might have woken up in a better spot every day during that.
Predator center Matt Duchesne on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt, last thing for you here. As you look ahead to the season, the new divisions, obviously beginning the season without fans in the building and the schedule of it all, what do you think of this setup? What do you think of the idea of not playing in front of many fans to begin this season? And you got a little bit of experience with that in the bubble, but how do you think this thing is going to shake out, and what do you anticipate it's going to be like for y'all as you get things rolling tomorrow?
Well, I think, you know, I think as the year goes on, we'll get more and more people in the building as the vaccine gets distributed, and hopefully as the warm weather comes and this virus kind of settles down a little bit. Obviously, we're right in the thick of things right now, but you know, I can't wait for this building to be full again. I mean, I think something that I think I took for granted a little bit in my job and what I do is what the fans bring. And if there's ever a time that fans are appreciated, it's right now, especially here. I mean, the first game back with this building full is just going to be, it's going to be like Christmas. You know, I think we'll eventually get back there. But even once we start getting, you know, 1,000 fans in the building, you know, that's going to be incredible. Even the other day, my family was able to come to the game, and just to have them in the building watching me, and, you know, I'm sitting on the bench before the game, before the scrimmage, just getting, you know, just doing my normal routine, and I get a text on my Apple Watch, look up to your left, and my wife and my son are up in the suite, up to my left, and I'm waving at my kid, and just that support that we didn't have in Edmonton during the bubble, that we now are going to be able to have in very small amounts, but at the same time, it's special. And, you know, to any Preds fans listening, I mean, every time I do one of these things, I'm just so grateful for the fan base we have and the following, and all of us feel that way. So we can't wait to get all you guys back in the building.
Predator center Matt Duchesne has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Matt, great stuff. Appreciate you taking time to join us, and looking forward to doing this every week throughout the season, my man.
Yeah, sounds good, guys. I'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Matt Duchesne, Predator centerman, the season getting underway tomorrow against the Columbus Blue Jackets. We'll react to what Duchesne had to say there and talk about this season specifically for Matt Duchesne. How important is he going to be to the success or failure of this team? We'll discuss that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Preds fans, Smashville Live returns tonight on 102.5 The Game, and tonight's guests will be Preds players Nick Cousins and Luke Cunnin. The show will air every Wednesday during the Preds season from 6 to 7 p.m. and will feature Preds players, former players, and other special guests. Something new this year, we're going virtual, so you can watch the show from the comforts of your own home via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and more. So be sure to join us every Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. this hockey season for Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. And make sure you're tuning in all hour long this hour for the cue to call for your chance to qualify to win a pair of tickets to the Preds season opener versus the Columbus Blue Jackets tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thanks to Matt Duchesne, Predator centerman, for joining us in the last segment. And Joe, lots of interesting stuff there from Matt Duchesne. You can tell that there's a hunger from this group. He talked about it, what it's looked like in practice, and the chip on the shoulder that appears to be there. But also, I mean, you could sense Matt Duchesne looking forward to putting last year behind him and moving ahead here with just some of the things he had to go through last year. Who knew? Broken jaw. That sounds awful.
Yeah, that does not sound pleasant. You know, that's some breaking news from Matt Duchene. So we will now expect him to break news every week.
Yes.
This year, among the expectations, you know, 40 goals, 80 points in 56 games, and break a story every week on this show. But no, I mean, it's look, Matt Duchene is always interesting, always outspoken, willing to talk, and that was, I mean, that was something I never would have guessed. I mean, I swear, hockey, there's no other sport where, like you break a jaw, you're like, ah, man, I just feel a little weird waking up every day. And you just go about yours and play this sport. You know, like there's no more playing with injury sport that can exceed what hockey is. But I do sense that with Duchene that, you know, he wants to have a better year. It's not like he had – I do think we've talked about this, but I think they're definitely, because of the length of the pursuit, that some fans maybe had a little bit different, you know, concept of what Matt Duchene is as a player. You know, he has had 170 point year. But like you said, I think yesterday, Robbie, you know, a 55 to 60 point score and, you know, centering a really good productive line. That's exactly why you brought Matt Duchene to Nashville.
Exactly. And you're trying to get that 1-2 punch down the middle. And, you know, part of this is on the Predators too. I mean, you've got to find a guy that fits with Matt Duchene on that line. Like, you know, obviously he didn't say this, but I could kind of tell last year the moving around and going from center to left wing to right wing at sometimes, and just all the different line shuffling that took place. If you're a player, I mean, that's got to be frustrating at some point. And it happened a lot under Peter Laviolette. It felt like, you know, if things weren't working for a period and a half, Laviolette was just, he would throw everything in the blender and just mix it up. And sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes if things have gone stale long enough, I mean, you can't just sit there and wait for things to magically happen offensively. I get that. But there is something to be said for leaving lines together and seeing if they can develop and seeing if over time they can become something that you can rely on consistently. I'm interested to see this season how John Hines approaches that, because I think it's going to be more challenging this season to approach it that way, given what the uncertainty looks like with COVID and all the different moving parts with the taxi squad. And, you know, right now you've got Granlund going through immigration stuff and he's not been able to get into town and get on the ice up until this point. So you're already starting off the season if you're Duchene. I mean, yesterday he practiced with Eric Halla and Luke Cunnan, two guys that have played well. Cunnan had a good season last year. He looks to be a promising young player. Hall has had productive seasons in the past. But I think both guys that right now are unproven at the level that they could play at the top six and be sufficient wingers on his left and right side. So there's a lot of responsibility that Matt Duchene's going to have this year. I think he's going to have a better season. I would expect all four of those guys that we spent so much time talking about to bounce back in some form or fashion. I'm not saying they're all going to have career years, but I would not expect them to be as inconsistent as they were a season ago. But I'm still trying to answer the question of who's going to play with Matt Duchene, and can you find a formula that's sustainable? Can you find a left winger that you feel good about all the time? Is Granlund that guy? If you keep them together long enough, can they develop that chemistry? These are still questions to me that I don't know that we know the answer to heading into this season. And that's going to be important in determining whether or not Matt Duchene is able to bounce back.
Right. Well, and when I asked him, you know, if he could elaborate on, you know, the things out of control, that's what I was thinking of. You know, I thought, yeah, that's where my mind went. And that may be one of the things he was referring to without specifying, but there's no way that's comfortable as a player. And especially in a season like last year, which is frustrating. If you're Matt Duchene, you came in and your arrival is so celebrated and everyone's so excited. And then it's like you don't really have a solid situation all year. And if we believe that this top line is back together, and I think that's how it'll be this year until John Hines, you know, at least feels compelled to switch things up. I mean, last year to start, Forsberg and Duchene looked pretty good together.
Yeah. Granlund was on that line too. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, if I'm Duchene, I love the idea of playing with Philip Forsberg, but But you also certainly, I mean, you've got to also understand, I mean, like that line is dynamite right now. I think you have to go with them. And so I'm sure if Matt Duchene would love to have, you know, two consistent line mates all year so that they can build something. I do feel like he and Granlund did some good things, especially after John Hines took over as coach.
Yep.
So I feel like there's some potential there. But then who's the third guy, and can they take it to another level?
I'm also interested, like when you look at this roster, how much of it is addition by subtraction with Kyle Turris? And it's nothing against Kyle Turris, because I think he's a good guy, and I think he was well-liked in the locker room. But it felt like last year they were trying to just force Kyle Turris into a role. And he wasn't going to play down the middle at center. You had Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene in those spots for the most part. And it felt like Kyle Turris was always just kind of the odd man out, and they were forcing him into the top six in a role that he hadn't had a whole lot of experience playing on the wing, and just it never worked. It never worked out for Kyle Turris. And I wonder, you know, kind of having more freedom in terms of your lineup and flexibility, and not having to just force a guy that's making $6 million into the lineup to try to justify what you're doing out there and see if he can finally get it going. I wonder how that affects this group as well, because I think it's pretty obvious. You look at the roster right now, Matt Duchene's going to play center. I mean, I don't anticipate a whole lot of moving around on the wing this year. I think he's going to be the center, and I think he'll be the center from day one until the end of this season on that second line. I just wonder how much of an effect, if any, that has on him this season specifically.
Yeah, I mean, I would think so. I mean, obviously, with Laviolette, eventually that it went to, well, I'm done forcing him, and he can just sit over here. But that's
right.
I mean, that's not good for your overall team either. That became a source of conflict, and it just, I think with Turris, it got better also under John Hines. But I think you're right. I think that, you know, you don't have to feel, you know, there's no feeling like, oh man, you know, we got to try to figure something out with this guy because he's, like you said, $6 million guy. I mean, it's like, you know, you're sort of forced into situations based on what players make or where they were acquired, just like we were talking about earlier with Isaiah Wilson. So you take that out of the equation, and it probably is addition by subtraction, even though Turris did some good things, but clearly that wasn't working. And, you know, that line had some good moments in the postseason, but then, of course, had some real bad moments too.
It did, and as far as Matt Duchene is concerned, I mean, last year, you look at the numbers, 42 points, just 13 goals in 66 games, and that to me is where it's got to get better this year in terms of the goal-scoring part of it. I mean, I think playmaking, he'll be fine, and I like his ability there, but just driving offense by yourself, I felt like he never really got going in that area last year, and I think a lot of it, honestly, is the style of play. And we've talked about that, how it got different under John Hines. There's a lot more involvement with the forwards. And I think the two people that has an opportunity to really affect the most is Granlund and is Matt Duchene, just because those guys all throughout their careers are used to entering the zone with a puck on their stick. They've got their head up. They're either looking to make plays for other people or make plays for themselves. And I thought, you know, as good as Josi is and as good as the defense core is for the Predators, they were guilty under Laviolette of maybe carrying the mail a little bit too much offensively and not getting the puck up quickly to the forwards and trying to transition that way. And John Hines changed that immediately. I mean, you're still going to have Josi carrying the puck. I think you still want that at times, given how yeah, useful and how good he is with it. But I think also at times maybe they were too reliant on the defenseman bringing the puck up the ice. And it's pretty clear John Hines doesn't want to play that way a whole lot. He wants to use the forwards as much as he can in transition, and I think that suits Matt Duchene really well.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, like 29 again, 66 games. So remember, I mean, he probably ends up with close to 50 if they play the full
right
season anyway last year, which is really, again, it's not far off what you're looking for from him. But 13 goals, a little low. I mean, Duchene has been a 30-goal scorer one time in his career. That was in 15-16. His best overall year with the Avs in 13-14, you know, it was a 70-point guy, but 23 goals, 47 assists. I mean, that's about, you know, 20-goal scorer and be a creator and be on a line that's productive. And I mean, I think that that's what you want from him. I mean, the expectations were a bit unrealistic. And again, I just think because we're talking years and years of people like trying to figure out like, oh, Matt Duchene wore a cowboy hat today. I think, you know, the Preds are going to trade for him. I mean, it's, you know, that sort of puts undue pressure on someone when they come in, but I don't think he was as far off last year, you know, as some think, but still you do need more from that. And when you talk about this team, hard to play against, trying to be a more sound, you know, structured team and all that, that's great. You still need to have goal production, and especially from those big top four forwards.
So with the season getting underway tomorrow, what should the expectations be for this Predators team? We'll get to that with Adam Vinken from The Athletic and more. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The Nashville Predators get underway tomorrow. The season begins, and to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our man Adam Vinken from The Athletic. Adam, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We are doing very well, Adam. Hope you are as well. And Adam, we had Matt Duchene on earlier in the show and talked about just, you know, the different situations last year with Laviolette coming in and then being fired, and John Hines, and just the different challenges of navigating through his first year in Nashville. As you look at Duchene specifically this year under John Hines, how realistic do you think a bounce back season is? What are your expectations for Matt Duchene this year?
I certainly think a bounce back season is possible. And I've said this a couple of times, but I think the real Matt Duchene is somewhere in the middle between the player we saw last year. He's not as bad as he was last year, but he's also not as good as he was two seasons ago when he had a 70-point season split between the Senators and Blue Jackets. So I think the real Matt Duchene is somewhere in the middle. Now, of course, I'm not going to do any math to what an 82-game point pace is versus 56, but in an 82-game season, Matt Duchene should be at least a 50-point player, maybe a 55-point player. So whatever that translates to in a 56-game season, I think is reasonable to expect from Matt. I think one thing that's going to help is the fact that we know that he is going to be the second-line center. The departure of Kyle Turris helped in one regard. Well, it probably helped in many regards, but in one regard, you know, they no longer have to find a place and force Kyle into a certain position. And we saw that, I think, during the postseason and various points during the regular season where Matt moved over to the wing to help Kyle find a spot. Now you don't have to do that anymore. So I think the fact that he knows that he'll be playing center and hopefully he'll have, steady wingers, which he also didn't really have last year. I think some continuity, not just in having John as the coach full time, but also perhaps in his line mates, should only help Matt.
So if you could of the available pool, and we'll include Granlin because obviously at some point he'll be available. And you were making the choice, Adam, for ideal line mates for Matt Duchene. Who would those two people be?
You okay, Joe? Got a frog in your throat?
I'm a little bit choked up, excited about your New Orleans Saints this weekend and Drew Brees.
Yes. It's always difficult to beat a team three times in one season. When I think of Duchene's, best possible line mates, I think Granlund is one just because they spent so much time together last year and their underlying numbers were actually pretty solid. So I would assume that Granlund will get an opportunity once he is eligible to come back, hopefully within the next week, or in the next week, rather, that he'll be one of those two wingers. The other one, I would like to see Luke Cunning on the other wing. Certainly the Predators believe that Luke has top six potential. In some way, Luke, to me, is sort of a poor man's Craig Smith. So he doesn't, he's younger, so he doesn't have the body of work, but he is a volume type shooter like Craig is. And I think having someone like that on Matt's line would be beneficial. So for me, if we're including the entire pool, I would have a second line of Mikael Granlund, Matthew Shane, and Luke Cunningham.
Adam Vinkin from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Adam, we talked about it a little bit yesterday on the show. If you go through the preseason predictions, and I was looking at the ones on NHL.com yesterday, I mean, a lot of people don't even have the Predators making the playoffs. If they do, I think the highest seed they were in the Central Division was 3. So obviously, outwardly, the expectations are not going to be as high for this group as they were in the last few years in the preseason. Now that you've seen the offseason additions, you've seen an abbreviated training camp, you've been around the team and talked to them, what are your expectations for this group heading into the season?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. And part of me thinks that the fact that so many people have written them off should be of benefit to them. And I think Ryan Ellis spoke of this on the all the way back, which was only a week and a half ago, on the first day of training camp, that he said that he feels that the group has to prove to itself and to the rest of the league that it's still a team that can compete at the highest level, because the team is aware that they've been on a downward trend over the past few years, and that has changed the perception of them around the league. When I look at the Central Division, which is weird to say, the Discover NHL Central
Division.
Yes,
get it right.
I want to make sure that I get the sponsorship in there, even though I do not have a Discover card, nor do I know anybody who has a Discover card. the Discover NHL Central Division, I think it's a foregone conclusion, at least in my opinion, that the Tampa Bay Lightning are going to win the division, simply because I think they are the best team. Of course, they're the defending champions. From there, I think Carolina is probably the second best team. You can go back to the bottom of the division, and I think Chicago and Detroit are going to battle it out for last place in the Central Division, which leaves Dallas, Nashville, Columbus, and Florida for two playoff spots. And, I think the Predators are a bubble team. I can see them finishing as high as third. I could see them finishing fourth as well. I don't think they're going to miss the playoffs. I would be slightly surprised to see them miss the playoffs. But to me, I think their ceiling in this division is third place. There have been plenty of predictions that have the Predators in fifth, which would mean that they would miss the postseason for the first time since 2014.
Right.
But I don't expect that to happen. But I do expect them to be on the bubble throughout the season.
I know you hate practice, Adam, but anything that has jumped out at you in watching these guys at all that maybe you didn't anticipate or that you think might carry over once the hockey counts here?
Yeah, we're talking about practice, not a game, not a game. We're talking about practice.
That's right.
The one thing for me that I'm curious about after watching practice and in the couple of scrimmages that they've done is I'm not really sure what the future holds for Elie Tolvanen. I didn't think he stood out that much across the two scrimmages. And to me, he is not like a Cali Yarncroke, Colton Sissons type, where if they need to play on the third line, for example, you can still expect them to be effective. Elie Tolvanen, to me, needs a healthy dose of offensive zone starts at even strength. He needs a lot of power play time, but I don't think he's going to crack the top six, which is where I think he needs to be. So what does that mean? I think it would, do you still play him on the bottom six and hope that he at least gets playing time? Do you put him on the taxi squad and let him practice with the team some more, or do you send him to the American Hockey League? I do not believe it is a lock for any stretch of the imagination that Elie Tolvanen is on the active roster when it is announced later. It has already been submitted, but has yet to be announced. So to me, that's what stood out to me. I'm not sure he did what he needed to do to secure himself a top six spot in this lineup.
Adam Vingan from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, as you look at the Ekholm and Fabbro pairing, obviously Fabbro's first full season in the league last year in top 4 minutes, and quite honestly, looking back on it, probably not in a role that you would have liked him to be in, even his first full season in the NHL, but that's the way that things happen. That's the cards they were dealt. As you look at Fabbro and what he's looked like so far in camp and forecasting that pairing this year, how big of a jump do you think Ekholm and Fabbro can take together this year in year two?
Well, first of all, I would like to point out that Darren McFarland has told us that he has a Discover card and has had one for more than 20 years, which Joe just said, you also still have your AOL account from 1998. Wow. So Darren is the only person I know that has a Discover card, and somewhat, and I'm not completely surprised by that for some reason. Anyway,
thank you.
To answer your question, I asked Matthias about this yesterday. Because you're right, Robbie. You know, when Matthias Ekholm went from playing on a pair with PK Subban for three seasons to playing with Dante Fabbro, I mean, that's a significant drop off in experience. And I agree that perhaps Dante was thrown into some defensive situations that he needed to have almost a trial by fire to figure out. And when you look at their combined numbers as a pair, they were solid enough defensively, but it was definitely a departure from what we expect from Matthias specifically, who has earned a reputation as being one of the steadiest defensive-minded defensemen in the NHL, or defensive-oriented defensemen in the NHL. And that is one thing that Matthias mentioned yesterday, was they need to get, that he wants to be better defensively than he was last year. He thinks that their experience as a pair over a full season should help them improve, and I agree. I think they should be better, just because now Dante Fabbro has a full NHL season under his belt. The other thing that helps, though, is they do have players who can step up just in case, whether it's Matt Benning or Mark Borbieski, who can play those defensive-minded roles, perhaps more so than the third pairing defensemen that the Predators were rotating through last season.
How are you feeling about Pekka this year, Adam?
How do I feel about Pekka? I think, sort of what I was talking about before with the level of expectations around the team being lower, they're certainly lower about, around Pekka. You know, last season was statistically the worst season of his career when just looking at goals against average and save percentage. And I talked to Pekka, last week, and I had a story that came out yesterday on The Athletic, and he said to me that, even when he was at the top of his game, he never liked looking at lists where he was listed among the top goalies in the NHL. You know, he likes to put his head down and only have those expectations for himself. And he understands that the proverbial torch has been passed, that UC Saros, will probably get the bulk of the starts, even though he will probably get more playing time, Pekka, that is, this season, just because of the condensed schedule, than he probably would have otherwise. But I think he will bounce back too. I'm very curious to see how this goalie rotation works, because the Predators have claimed that there'll be a 1A and 1B. We'll see. I personally believe that UC Saros should get more starts, just because I think we're at a point where we need to see just how realistic it is that he could be Pekka's immediate replacement. So I think Pekka, is an incredibly competitive individual, but I also think he's in a good place. You know, he didn't take it personally that he didn't start in the playoffs last year. His partner just had a son that's a month and a half old, so his perspective on life has changed a little bit. I expect a good, solid season from Pekka. I'm not expecting Vezina Trophy-level Pekka, but I'm expecting better than what we saw last year.
Adam Vingan from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Adam, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us, and things get started for real tomorrow. Looking forward to it.
All right, Darren, I need a picture of this Discover card. I know you're listening.
Yes, I'm sure that's what he wants to do, is tweet you a picture of his credit card. That'd be nice.
He doesn't have to tweet it.
Because he has a beeper, too.
Thank you. Adam, we appreciate you, man. When we come back, Joe Rexroad, we will revisit our poll question of the day surrounding Jeremy Pruitt and the Tennessee football program. Will he be the head coach starting the 2021 season? We'll discuss that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Make sure you're tuning in every weekday morning on Preds Game Day at 8:45 this season for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The first chance to participate is tomorrow morning. Nashville Predators and their season getting underway. So make sure at 8:45 you're tuning in for Preds Pick to Click brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe Rexrode, let's revisit our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Will Jeremy Pruitt be the head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers to begin the 2021 season? 236 votes in so far. 53% saying yes, Jeremy Pruitt will be the coach to begin the 2021 season. 47% saying no. So very close in the responses so far for Jeremy Pruitt and whether or not he's going to be the coach to begin next season.
Yeah, and I wonder how many of those responses would have been different, you know, prior to Kevin Steele being hired as an assistant coach, you know. Which, again, you can look at that situation and still come away thinking Jeremy Pruitt's going to end up losing his job here, but it does throw some confusion into the mix, more confusion into the mix.
Which is exactly what we needed in this situation. You've had an investigation that's been going on for basically 2 months at this point, and we've heard almost radio silence out of Tennessee and their athletic department. And, you know, the report comes out from Mark Slaybaugh a week ago that, you know, there's a hiring freeze and lawyers are in the mix. And obviously this investigation doesn't look good for Jeremy Pruitt. And I got to the point, Joe, where I thought, I mean, this is a pretty dark cloud circling over Jeremy Pruitt. I didn't think he was going to be here. And the Kevin Steele thing, I don't really know what to think about it. We had Josh Ward on from WNML in Knoxville earlier in the show, and he just talked about, I mean, there are about three or four different ways that you can look at that hire if you're Tennessee. I mean, could he be, you know, the coach in waiting, an interim coach, if you decide to move on from Jeremy Pruitt? That's on the table. Could he be on the staff for the next coach if you decided to move on from Jeremy Pruitt just because of how cheap he was right now and him being available after being let go at Auburn? I mean, there are a ton of ways to look at Kevin Steele and his hiring at Tennessee. And I'm not sure there's any more clarity today after it was done than there was before. As a matter of fact, I think you may even be more confused if you're a Tennessee fan.
Yeah, look, I can take this and look at the staff and say, okay, now they have someone who's kind of a new voice, but certainly someone who has been a candidate before for head coaching jobs. You know, almost got the Auburn head coaching job, apparently, after Gus Malzahn was fired, which also apparently means that we, you know, you shouldn't expect to see Gus coming into Knoxville there with Steele.
Ryan Poore's dream dies immediately. No Gus bus.
I mean, that's that relationship's apparently soured. So, but, you know, you look at this staff, who would be, if Jeremy Pruitt were to be fired, I also believe there'd be, you know, at least an assistant or two that would also be fired. But who would be, you know, if you don't want to at this point try to go through a coaching search and you do an interim year, who on this staff would be that person? It wouldn't be Jim Chaney. I mean, he's been interim coach before, but his performance, everything, it would not be him. I mean, it could be Derek Ansley, the defensive coordinator. But, you know, Kevin Steele probably moves the top of the list now as someone who you could do that with. Now, is that a good idea to try to keep things together and have an interim prove it year? I don't really think so. I mean, I think that, like, how do you recruit to that? You know, I don't see how you have recruiting success or momentum with a head coach where it's like, hey, maybe he'll be here after next year, you know? So it's just hard for me to imagine that this was done with that in mind. But I think you also have to – we don't know the results of the investigation. If this means that Pruitt's going to end up getting out of this and keeping his job, well, then Tennessee needs to say that.
Yeah, they do, and that's the main thing. Like, we're getting to the point now where you're going to have to hear something out of the athletic department because, as Josh pointed out earlier in the show, they've had opportunities to say that Jeremy Pruitt's going to be their guy moving forward, and they haven't done it. They had an opportunity in the statement that they released with Kevin Steele to say that Jeremy Pruitt is still their guy, and they didn't take it. So, I mean, you could read that a bunch of different ways. Obviously there's an investigation that's ongoing, and you want to get to the end of that, but you need to hear something soon to wrap up this investigation, to hear something out of the Tennessee Athletic Department, because, Like, if I'm a player on this team right now, I don't know what to think about the direction of this program moving forward. And you brought up a great example earlier in the show. Like, what do you think is going through Harrison Bailey's mind right now? Because you talk about him, he obviously gets in at the end of the year, has his moments where he looks good, has his moments where he looks like a true freshman quarterback. But all of a sudden, you brought in Caden Salter as a part of this recruiting class, and then Hendon Hooker comes in from Virginia Tech, and you're looking around at your coaching staff and not knowing for sure whether or not they're going to be here next year. I just wonder what's going through Harrison Bailey's mind right now, and I just can't see a way that he possibly feels secure at the moment.
And it was Bailey's dad who tweeted,
yeah,
that basically they are leaving if it's not going to be Pruitt. I mean, there's a lot. So you've seen some guys leave, seen some guys signed up. I mean, again, I'm still kind of blown away that Hendon Hooker decided to come in. You know, it's like come in to play for somebody. I mean, if Pruitt ends up getting fired here, does that mean that the next coach is locked into keeping Kevin Steele now? It's like, hey, you know, you can hire a staff, but you have like this guy, you know, we just signed him. He's going to be on your staff. I mean, it's very weird. It's very weird. And, you know, Philip Fulmer, I'd love to know what he is thinking right now and doing and talking about. I would have to think there was, you know, some absolute involvement with him and Steele, of course. I mean, they have a connection, you know, so that makes sense. But is it that Fulmer brought him in independent of Pruitt, or Pruitt was allowed to bring him in and did? It's just, there's so many things about this that we just don't know. And the longer and longer it goes, I think the worse and worse Tennessee looks.
All right, Joe, we've got about 30 seconds here. I threw it out there earlier. Trey Wallace floated out Lane Kiffin and maybe some checking around on Kiffin's part before the contract extension was signed in Ole Miss. If Pruitt's gone, do you make a call to Lane Kiffin if you're Philip Fulmer?
Well, no. He would never do that. He'll make a call to anybody else in the world before doing that. So, I mean, it's not even worth – like, he won't do it. If a call is made to Lane Kiffin, it won't be made by Philip Fulmer, and Philip Fulmer won't be the AD anymore.
There you go. It's an interesting – you know, Trey brought that up on his own. So it's just interesting to think about how far we've come since 2009 and just maybe going full circle with Lane Kiffin. Always in the news, that guy's always a troll on Twitter when it comes to Vol Twitter as well. So very entertaining to keep track of there with Lane Kiffin. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rexford. We'll be back in the morning. Nashville Predators game day. The season gets underway tomorrow night against the Columbus Blue Jackets. So make sure you keep it locked all day long right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren Donica Chase coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.